Good afternoon, and welcome to the Wednesday afternoon conference call with Trusts Unlimited. This is Jim George speaking. I'm the non-attorney spokesman and facilitator for Trusts Unlimited, and I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time to listen to this call, particularly those of you calling in for the first time and those that hopefully will be able to listen to our replay. This is going to be a shorter call today, largely because I was informed last week that we would be back on YouTube, and then I was informed this morning that that may or may not be the case for this week. For obvious reasons, I cannot repeat for you my response to that information, but it does not make sense for me to do the full-blown call if it's not up on YouTube. On a good day, we get about 100 people listening to the live call, but we've had as many as 20,000 people listening to the replay. So, without exaggerating, about 99.5% of our market resides in those that listen to the replay for obvious reasons, convenience, people are working, etc. So, we're going to go to a shorter call today. I would strongly suggest that those of you calling in for the first time or learn of us, go to our call of October 20th or 27th. I cannot remember which one of those two calls was a full-blown call that had a detailed outline of their turnkey program we put in place to assist you. But if you go to one of the two calls and it's not the long call, you'll know within 15 seconds probably if that's the call you want to listen to. In order to get to our replay calls, you will go to Trusts with an S, UnlimitedLLC.com, which is our website. You will click the box Learn More. You will then click Conference Calls, and then you can select the date or dates that you wish to listen to. But for today, I'm going to go ahead and get into what's going on in Iraq and around the world, because there is a lot going on. Some of it's good news, some of it's not. And I'll explain what I mean by this. First, by way of disclaimer, Trusts Unlimited is not the purveyor of the dinar and these other currencies. We're not advocating either the sale or purchase of these currencies, but as rather substantial currency holders ourselves, we're sharing with you the information we believe to be relevant. And, of course, the most relevant piece of information would be the potential for the a window for the reset of the dinar and some of these other currencies. Now, at the stage we're in right now, the reinstatement of the dinar could happen at any time, although it is looking like January makes the most sense, and I'll explain to you why. But again, it could literally happen at any time. So let's talk about where we are in Iraq, because there is a lot going on. Now, as we speak, the Supreme Federal Court is still in the process of ratifying the elections. Of course, there were some complaints about the elections, but they were not based on substance, in my view. They were based on sour grapes. It was a predictable outcome once the election results came in. So I do think that the election will be ratified and upheld, but they've just not formally completed the process. One of my concerns is the global transition to digital currencies. We're seeing international agencies and nations in the process of establishing their digital platforms, and Iraq is even sponsoring a summit on digital solutions for Iraq. Now, I do not like the digital currencies. I don't like anything about them. They're being sold to us the way the federal agencies, the international agencies, and the governments always sell everything. In my opinion, they just lie to us. They lie by omission. And here's some of the problems I have with the digital currency. They're trying to eliminate hard currencies. Why? Because if all of our currencies are held digitally, then the central bank is technically the custodian of your wealth, meaning that you can put it in there, but you can rest assured there will be conditions for you removing it or taking it out. I'll give you a concrete example. In the EU, you could, for example, have €1 million in the bank, but depending upon the country you live in, you will only be entitled to withdraw in currency, hard currency, anywhere from 1,000 to 2,500 euros in a given day. Now, of course, you can write checks, use your ATM cards, and all of that. But the fact of the matter is they do not want to give you the hard currency. And the notion that I would have 1 million euros in a bank, but I could only withdraw on any given day 1,000 euros, is absurd. But it tells you who the real custodian of the funds is. The other issue, of course, is safety. We know that the NSA, Apple, a lot of huge international conglomerates have been hacked. They've gotten all kinds of personal information about us. If they can hack the NSA, they can certainly hack your bank account. And the other issue is the EMP, electromagnetic pulse weapon. That's the weapon of choice in the 21st century and in a digital society. So with the release of an EMP, they could literally wipe out all of the records of your digital account. So the only recourse you would have would be keep copious written records of your digital transactions. So you're actually going to have to do more than you did with a conventional account once you have a digital account. So this does not benefit you at all. It benefits them. And once again, you're the one at risk, despite the fact that they say what they've done is make this safer. It's not true. Now, on a little bit more positive note, there are some good things happening. The CBI will be participating in the Banking and Financial Summit to be held in Dubai, which began today and will go through the 20th. In addition, the CBI has released a 25-page explanation of the process and implications of a change in the exchange rate. Now, this is the education program we were told had to precede the reinstitution of the dinar. In addition, there have been a couple of recent interviews which support the reinstitution of the dinar. First, Dr. Shabibi. Those who have had currencies for some length of time and have been following this know that Dr. Shabibi, who at one time was the governor of the CBI, had pushed for the reinstatement of the dinar all the way back in 2012. Well, he again, in his interview, said that it's time to reinstitute the dinar, that this 3-0 provisional currency was only issued in order to deal with hyperinflation in Iraq at the time, and that the condition for the removal of the provisional currency is now at hand. So that's good news. In addition, Prime Minister Kazemi and the Minister of Finance also stated publicly that the exchange rate has to be adjusted in cooperation and coordination with the new budget. However, here is the rub. When they say change the exchange rate, are they saying going back to 1180 as opposed to the 1450 that the dinar is right now? Or are they saying that we want to reinstitute going to a one-to-one with the U.S. dollar? Or are they saying we're going to slowly march to the reinstituted rate of one-to-one with the U.S. dollar in country? That has not been clarified as yet, and of course that's important. So we are confronted with some things we're going to have to deal with. The implications of a digital currency, the timing of the reinstitution, which affects the payment of taxes, and are we looking at a slow reinstitution going from 1450 to 1180 and then all the way to one-to-one with the dollar, or are they just going to go to the dollar? We don't really know. Now, I want to harken back to what I said earlier about the Dubai summit, because it's very likely that the reason the summit is occurring now, the reason the countries that have their currency in a program right now are invited to this summit, it's likely that the reinstitution and revaluation of a number of these currencies could take place very shortly. If that does happen, then the QFS will most likely be fully operational. Now, the quantum financial system does have projected, not actual values, but projected values for these various currencies that are in a program rate. And the IQG projected, now this is not a guarantee, it's merely a projection, is projecting the new Iraqi dinar to be pegged at $4.81 USD. Now, for the last 10 years, we've been estimating about $5. So we've been pretty darn close to what the projection today is. So we're right on the cusp right here. There are a lot of factors involved. As I said, I do not like the direction with the digital banking. But on the other hand, what they may be telling us is it's not going to happen without the digital banking system. So that means we're going to need, after we've exchanged our currency, we're going to need to do everything we can to make sure we have control of that wealth, whether it means moving the money to a number of institutions, whether it means purchase of real estate, purchase of cryptocurrencies, purchase of semi-precious and industrial metals, all kinds of things of that nature. Now, I want to touch on our trust package, because for over a decade, we've been marketing the package to dinarians, and without getting into a lot of detail for those of you calling in for the first time, that's why I strongly suggest you go back and listen to our call of either October 20th or 27th. But in the particular political and economic environment we're in right now, this trust package, in our view, is an essential component to preserving wealth. If you go to the United States Constitution, you go to the Fourth Amendment, you have the right to contract. A trust is a contract. Our trust is a self-settled trust, meaning you've contracted with yourself. You have protected your wealth in our trust, and you are the beneficiary of the wealth within that trust for yourself. And when you pass away, to your children, grandchildren, or however you wish to distribute the funds after the fact. But there's another issue here, and as I said, it has to do with politics. The United States government passed the initial infrastructure bill, which I call the non-infrastructure bill. It was pegged at $1.75 trillion. It's probably closer to $3 trillion. But they're in the process right now of trying to pass the Build Back Better. And these people have an incredibly bad track record of naming something exactly what it's not. So the Affordable Care Act was really unaffordable. The infrastructure bill is non-infrastructure. And the Build Back Better, as far as I'm concerned, really means burning it all down. Now, I'll just give you one issue to deal with, and that is the intrusiveness of the banking regulations that are inside of the this Build Back Better thing. Hopefully, what will kill this thing is the CBO scoring. The bill has a lot of issues in there that are sunsetted. So what they've done is they've scored the bill, or the Democrats have said what it's going to cost based on everything being sunsetted. In other words, at some point in time in the future, this particular provision will stop. However, the bill allows for the sunset to be extended. So if you run the bill out for 10 years, and that's what the CBO likes to do, in my opinion, we're probably looking at something in the neighborhood of $7 or $8 trillion. And that's on top of the 1.7, I would say $3 trillion. So we're looking at something like $10 trillion. That's half of the entire federal deficit, or federal debt, excuse me. Now, why is that? Why does our trust help you with this? Because included in the bill are very intrusive IRS provisions and banking provisions, where the banks now have to treat every transaction virtually as a suspicious financial transaction to be reported to the IRS. But remember, it's much more difficult for the IRS to pursue a sophisticated trust package like ours versus a simple individual account that a person has. The IRS has a long history of going for the low-hanging fruit. So the prospect of having to deal with someone that has a very sophisticated trust package like ourselves, with the assumption that you have very competent legal representation, versus Joe Lunchbox that just has an individual account, means they're going to gravitate to the low-hanging fruit, the individual account. So one thing you have to remember about government bureaucrats, the one thing they hate is a fair fight, and that's what they would have if you had our trust package. So this thing expands far beyond those of you that have currencies. This trust package will work with anybody who wants to maintain their privacy, who wants to protect their wealth, who wants to make sure that no one can pursue you without going into a court and providing a good explanation. This trust will allow you to avoid the cost and delay of probate. This trust will allow you to avoid the federal estate tax. Now, in addition, there are other codes, IRS codes, which this trust protects you, specifically 980-82 and Publication 525, and most importantly, Section 643B of the Internal Revenue Code, which says the exchange or sale of a capital asset within an irrevocable trust is tax-deferred. So in addition to taking things out of the control of the digital banking system by having physical or tangible assets, you will also enjoy tax deferral by buying and selling these assets within your trust. So again, I strongly suggest all of you go to our call of the 20th or 27th of October, listen to the plan in its entirety, contact us. We'll be happy to send you our initial no obligation package. It includes everything you need if you should decide to proceed with the establishment of your own personal, private, self-settled, irrevocable trust package. But again, you're under no obligation to do so. You can review all of the information, and it's quite voluminous. You can contact us if you have any questions. There is no consultation fee. So to summarize everything, there's good news and there's bad news, but we do seem to be edging in the right direction. I would be just as concerned about the next couple of weeks, what's going to happen with the second part of this infrastructure package, the Build Back Better BS, because they're going after us. And again, the banking stuff coupled with the digital system really concern me. And so what this trust is, it's a vehicle to circumvent all of that. So again, I want to thank you for listening to the call. I'm sorry we didn't have a full-blown call. Until we get an affirmative from YouTube, it makes no sense to put the marketing information out there because the only people listening are the people listening to the live call right here. Because people that don't listen to the live call or don't know how to get into the live call don't know how to get the information to listen to the replay. So hopefully we'll have this resolved. We will be back 2 weeks from today because there will, again, be no call next week. Certainly, if something of a dramatic nature will happen, unless it happens on Thanksgiving, which I don't anticipate, if there is something of a dramatic nature, we will try to get out an emergency email and schedule an emergency conference call. But failing that, we will be back the week after next. Thanks so much for listening to the call. Have a great Thanksgiving week. God bless, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.